The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Had a tremendous time and I think a great success. And we just concluded a very successful NATO summit here in Turkey. And I want to thank President Erdogan, who's really a great man. He's a great leader. He's a friend of mine, been a friend of mine for a long time. He's a strong person. Got a lot of leaders and their strong personalities, every one of them. I just want to say there was tremendous love in that room. The press got to see the sitting, but they didn't get to see the speaking. And I actually said, it's too bad the press couldn't see this, because every one of them spoke for a little while. And I spoke for a little while. But it's too bad the press couldn't have seen what we were doing in that room, because it was very smart people. And they have a lot of good in their heart, not evil, good. And they're doing a great job for their country. The world is doing well. We have the strongest military in the world by far, not even close. Everybody admits it. Last year's summit in the Netherlands was great also, and we achieved an unprecedented agreement to increase the annual defense spending. And it's the benchmark, raising it from 2% to 5% of GDP, which everybody said was impossible. And now they're all thanking me, and most of the countries have agreed to it. In the working session this morning, we discussed the progress other members are making toward the 5% target, and they're making great progress. Many of these countries are very rich, by the way. We don't have to feel sorry for them. If you could have seen the respect and the love in the room, and it's love really for the country, for our country. They like the job I'm doing. They said, we love you. These are grown people saying that. Isn't that nice? Maybe, I don't know, maybe they're trying to get to me. And in a way they did, because there was tremendous unity in that room. And I urge all nations to accelerate their plans to get the benchmark as quickly as possible. The benchmark is going to be that 5% number. That's the number it should have been for years. As a result of the commitment we achieved last year, defense spending of other NATO members surged by more than almost $150 billion in 2025, and much of that money is being spent on American-made equipment. They all want American-made equipment. We make the best equipment, the Patriots and the Tomahawks, and everything we have is considered to be the best. Not by me, it's everybody wants it. I wish we made it faster, because we could sell as much as we could make. Our equipment works, but we have to produce it faster for other countries, for everybody, including ourselves. We have to produce it faster. So we think within a year, year and a half max, we'll be, instead of waiting for a year or 2 years, we'll be having it on a 2 week wait, maybe a 1 week wait. That's what I want. And it'll do really well. A lot of people are, you know, just waiting. They're waiting. They want to get this defensive equipment, maybe in particular the defensive equipment, but offensive and defensive.
Now, prophecy gives a general broad outline of the events that are taking place on the earth now and those that are going to happen. Bible prophecy does tell about World War III. It does specifically tell us of one of the phases of World War that we believe is now the next one that we will call World War III. And it is not coming from the power and the source that we seem to suspect. No, we in the United States, my friends, seem to be so stupid we never can tell where our real enemy is until after he strikes. We can only see one enemy at a time, and I want to tell you that the United States has more than one enemy. Now, we fought a war against Germany, World War II, and Japan. Of course, we said at the beginning of World War II that we would certainly do away with German militarism and it would never rise up its ugly head again. We were going to demolish it once and for all, and after we got it demolished, now we start to rise it up ourselves. Because we think we have to have it as a buffer and a protection against Russia. We know what is prophesied to rise up in Europe. And we know which is the one and the only nation in Europe that is capable of dominating, and which is the economic and the industrial heart of all Europe, without which there could be no stability and strength. A human body cannot live without its heart. And the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire, the thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany.
Dose of reality there at the end of that cold open, together with a fair bit of fantasy. The world is doing well. What does the Bible say about the world? We touched on this yesterday on the show, and we'll make some similar points today as we go forward. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots to get to. Hopefully we can play another segment from the Fort Lauderdale personal appearance campaign that we had a week and a half ago. We've got some, I think about 27 minutes left from that, so we might play a chunk of it depending upon how the next few minutes go. We'll see. Yesterday I mentioned Isaiah 1, verse 18, and when you look at world leaders, when you consider what they're saying, it's that quote. I just pulled it up from my notes yesterday. It's in the Jeremiah booklet, this one right here. My father wrote this many years ago. And in talking about Jeremiah 17, again, that's a pivotal chapter. And when you think about true education, understanding the human heart, that's just right at the core of what true education is all about. And my father says, after commenting on Jeremiah 17, he said, the chapter teaches the fundamental lesson about our human minds. If we truly understand, we won't let a day pass without intense Bible study and repentant prayer to our God. He goes on and says, only God can save us from our own incurably sick minds. We need God. We need a miracle. We need God's Spirit. We need to reason with God. We need to let the mind of Christ in. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts, as the prophet Isaiah said. Joel Hilliker covered these verses in the morning brief just a little bit ago. We have to plug in to the mind of God. Otherwise, we're all over the map. And that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing. Listen to this. This is President Trump praising the jihadi in a fine suit. He's trimmed his beard. He's wearing the fine suit, as Melanie Phillips has written. And he is winning high praise from the President of the United States. This is clip two.
Well, thank you very much. I'm with the highly respected President of Syria, and we are working together. We were right from the beginning, we were responsible, along with actually President Erdogan also felt very strongly. And he's done a really fantastic job as president. He's unified the country in a very short period of time. He's a strong person. He's a great leader. He's respected by everybody, including me. And we're proud to have him together. We're proud of the job he's doing. Syria's become a very stable. I mean, it's amazing. In a short period of time, it's really been stabilized. And we're proud of that. And to be part of the Middle East. Syria had one of the great cultures, the professors and lawyers and doctors. It had one of the great cultures of any country, not just Middle East. And then it went through this terrible period of time. You have any questions?
Mr. President, are you going to remove Syria from the state sponsor of terrorism list?
I think I will, yeah. I think I will. Why wouldn't I? He's done a great job. Maybe he would have brought that up in a little while. But you brought, that's a good question, yeah. Any problems with that? I think we should. Yeah, I will.
And just like that, Syria is no longer a state sponsor of terrorism. Now they're led by a great leader. He's a strong leader. Erdogan in Turkey, the Jew hater, strong leader. Great leader. Tremendous friend of mine. So if you're keeping score, if you're keeping score at home, you've got the jihadi in a suit in Syria. He's doing a fantastic job unifying Syria, bringing peace to the region. Erdogan, even though he won't meet with Bibi, he is a great man. Bibi, let's not go to that subject. He's kind of in and out as far as my like or dislike. It just depends from one day to the next, and certainly it depends on who's in my ear. Listen to what the president said earlier this week regarding Spain. This is clip 10.
I didn't speak to Spain. Spain is a wasted cause. We don't want to do any trade business with Spain anymore, by the way. I'd like you to cut it off. Spain is a terrible partner in NATO. They don't participate. They don't pay. I don't want anything to do with Spain. Cut off all trade with Spain, please, including visits. Okay, we don't want anything to do. Watch them come running back. Oh, they'll come running back. They treat this man terribly, and this man's a good man, too, great man. They're lucky they have him. But Spain doesn't agree to anything, and you shouldn't carry him. I mean, you sort of automatically carry him because you're protecting an area, so they're there. So they probably figure they have to protect us, right? But we don't have to. We don't have to trade with them. I don't want to do any more trade with them. All right? Sure. Take it immediately. Don't even talk to them. They're hopeless. Bad people because, you know, they have everybody else going and paying and working in Spain, in particular Spain. There are a couple of others, but in particular Spain. They're open about it. They're hostile about it. And let's see how hostile they remain when they call up and they... Please, we want to trade with you, sir. We want to trade with you, sir. They make so much money with us, and we're going to see that they make a lot less. I want no business with them.
No business with Spain. They're hopeless. And, of course, Spain starts paying their bills to NATO as soon as he says this. And I'm sure a lot of Trump supporters are cheering him on. This is great. Call him out. This is something that he's good at. My point is that the world is not well. Spain is hopeless. Syria is fantastic. The jihadi in a suit, he is tremendous. The Jew hater in Turkey, I love him. I love him. Now, the gal heading up Italy, don't like her. No. NATO on the whole, though, it's filled with love. I've never seen this kind of unity. And by the way, I better get Greenland. This world is about to explode. Look at the flip-flopping on Iran, as I covered on yesterday's show. Now they were good to work with. They were moderate. They were eager for a deal. Now they're the scum of the earth. Can you see why we need to reason with God? As I said on the show yesterday, it's not like we can't, you know, make a mistake and then correct the course and go forward. But this is just all over the place. There's no rhyme or reason. This is human reasoning. This is trusting in the human heart. And as you can see, if you're following this program regularly, it doesn't work. If anything, it should drive us to intense Bible study so that our thoughts can align with God's, so that we can understand the truth about the human heart, so that we can know what's revealed in Jeremiah 17 and Matthew 9. We need healing. President Trump had this exchange, by the way, because of his flip-flopping on Iran. Listen to clip 7.
Your operation in Venezuela has been lauded as a military success, and yet the Iran war seems to be a strategic dead end for you. Why are you apparently unable to end the Iran war?
So I think we're doing just the opposite. The Iran war has been a tremendous military success. I think it's a tremendous success, Iran. And you see the oil prices are lower than they were when I started. And people like to say that, but look, they have no military left. Their Air Force is gone. As I said, their ships are gone. 159 ships are gone. They're at the bottom of the sea. Their radar is gone. Everything's gone. So when you say not a success, it's a tremendous success. The fake news likes to say how well they're doing. They're doing terribly. They have 350% inflation. When the war started, they had like 6%, 5%. They have they want to make a deal, but they don't know how to make a deal. And then they go around shooting ships at night. I don't like that. You know?
Last month, you said Iranian leaders were very rational people, nice people to deal with, strong people, smart people. Today, you said they were scum, sick people, and being led by sick people. What changed, and do you think
I got to know them. So?
Well,
I've said that about a lot. Now, when you say rational, I think they're much more rational than level one, level two. Level one is gone. Level two is gone. This is level three. I think they are more rational, but based on their actions over the last week or two, they're not doing a service to the people. And I think more than anything else is I got to know them. And I'm not sure I want to make a deal with them. We can play games, but I'm not sure I want to make a deal. Let's just finish the job.
Level three is a little bit better. They're scum, as he said yesterday. They can't be dealt with. If they get a nuke, they're going to use it. The world is not well. And if you are a student of Bible prophecy, you know this to be true. The world is sick. The world is infirmed. The world is in trouble. And that's what you heard there in the cold open from Mr. Armstrong. We can only see one enemy at a time. And so here we are calling out Iran, I guess. Calling out Spain for not paying their dues. Calling out Bibi in little Israel for being an instigator of war. And yet heaping praise on jihadis, terrorists, Jew haters. And then through it all, saying that the world is, it's doing pretty well. It's a good place. This thinking, by the way, is in traditional Christianity, so much of it. The world is doing pretty good. We just need a few reforms here and there, and we need to win a few elections. And if that happens, then everything's just going to keep getting better and better and better. Coming back to what President Trump said about the love that there is within NATO and the European Union and the love for the United States. Play this montage, clip four.
As European nations rebuild their militaries, American equipment will be the largest beneficiary. The defense companies are going to be making most of that equipment. They want the American equipment because it works better. It's not a question of anything else. We make the best equipment in the world. And to that end, I provided other leaders with an update on the steps we're taking to rapidly scale up production in the United States. And they wanted to hear that because they don't really want to get it in 4 years, 5 years. They want to get it like in a week. And we'll actually be at a point like that in the not too distant future with the plants that are being built. The defense plants, it's incredible. And just today at the summit, we announced $3 billion of new defense investments with U.S. companies. And Lockheed Martin will establish a world-class Patriot missile sustainment facility, a big deal in Europe. They're given a tremendous incentive by Europe to do that. All goes to the benefit of us and Europe because they're getting the best equipment. And Lockheed and Rheinmetall are announcing a partnership to build the Army Tactical Missile Systems, which is a big deal. And Anduril is announcing a deal to build their new Barracuda missiles, which is a very highly sophisticated, fast missile. And we're doing that for Poland. I'll tell you what, I can only say if there's one word that comes out of today, it's unification. I've never seen anything like it. Every one of those countries, they love us. They love each other. That was tremendous unification.
Every one of those countries loves us. They love unity. I could pull together 10, 15, 20 articles. I've got a couple here. There's no going back, the Wall Street Journal wrote the other day. the inside story of Europe's rupture with America. That's reality. And if you follow this program, you know this. You know the animosity and the contempt that's there. Never mind what they say during the press conferences. You heard what Donald Trump said there about Spain just the other day. What do you think Spain thinks of this? Or the other countries of Europe? It was almost midnight in Brussels, says the Wall Street Journal, and the leaders of Europe were locked in their fifth hour of an emergency meeting with a single theme for discussion: how to manage a breakup with America. That's what's prophesied. That's what's happening. It's a breakup. And it's not amicable. Not when you venture into these hallways, these conference rooms behind closed doors. It's not amicable. It's not. It says the new year was only 3 weeks old, and President Trump, after removing Venezuela's autocratic strongman, had briefly threatened to seize Greenland from Denmark. It says around a circular table in the European Council headquarters, known as the Space Egg, heads of government were venting so emotionally about the 47th president that some of the nearly 30 leaders present would call the session therapy night. This was just a few months ago. Remember this? And now we hear talk of how much love there is and how the world is a pretty good place and how things just keep getting better and better. What a contrast. This was at the Wall Street Journal a few days ago. And again, President Trump would, I guess, call them out for being the fake news. But what a contrast to the love in Europe montage that we led off with on today's show. Of course, European leaders are going to do what they need to do out in public and say the right things and praise President Trump and America. Psalm 55 and verse 21, it says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. What is going on in the human heart? That's what we need to be thinking about. That's what we need to be preaching about. That's what we need to be studying the Bible about. The human heart. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And what President Trump has found out this week about Iran, the mullahs in Iran, he will soon find out about the leaders in Europe. We can only see one enemy at a time. It's easy to see the communists at home. The infiltration, after all, has been going on for decades. And yet we can't see the Holy Roman Empire rising for the seventh time out of the heart of Europe. And the beating heart of it is Germany. It always has been. We can't see it. No, instead, we want to send our Patriot missiles over there. Lockheed Martin. We want to build factories in Europe, in Germany. We want to help them build the military machine. This is insanity. And yet, it's what we're doing because the world is doing really well. And I've got examples I can put forward. Look at Erdogan. Look at the leader in Syria. Forget his name, but he's a jihadist. He comes along, though, and says a few nice things and flatters the president of the United States. Europe knows how to do that, too. One of these articles talks about how that they've gotten along with flatteries for about as much as they can go. And so now open hostility is what's about to emerge. And what will happen then? What will the commentators say then? What will President Trump say then? I mentioned yesterday, just the lack of depth and understanding. Just as I said on the program, reading the April issue of the Trumpet magazine would have been excellent, excellent advice, input for President Trump in dealing with Iran these past few months. It says here, we're drawing a line here. That's Emmanuel Macron quoting him again, going back to the rupture earlier this year. A clutch of European leaders chimed in to complain that the administration seemed more interested in mining and energy deals than upholding America's traditional role in the world. Europe risked becoming a miserable slave to the U.S., groused the prime minister of Belgium. Do they all love America? Are they really excited about the NATO alliance? Is everything on the up and up now because Spain is paying its dues? Or are we just seeing a lot of, what is it? The words of his mouth are smoother than butter. It sounds so good. What does the Bible say in Jeremiah about the peacemakers, the ambassadors for peace, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace? We've got to go beyond words and examine the human heart and examine what happens when we put our trust in man, when we put our trust in human reasoning. Proverbs 26, verse 24, it says, he that hates disassembles with his lips and lays up deceit within them. When he speaks fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. This is wonderful counsel. This is why we need intense Bible study daily, so that God will give us discernment and wisdom and understanding. You can't just go to a meeting and say, the world is great. I've never seen so much love and unity. God says, look at the fruits. Of course, out in the open, there's a lot of people practically bowing down to President Trump, willing to kiss him at every turn. But what's going on in the heart? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. That's Proverbs 27 and verse 6. The kisses of an enemy, the kisses of a jihadist. Haven't we learned the lesson just from Iran these past few months? Finally, we realize, okay, they're scum. They're scum. They can't be worked with. They're not reasonable. They're not moderate. And yet we go from that the very next day to heaping praise on Erdogan and the Syrian leader. It says here, this is in the Wall Street Journal piece, American allies have begun pushing the gas pedal on an unprecedented experiment to de-Americanization. Why aren't you hearing more of this in the daily commentary? It's a good article at the Wall Street Journal. As I say, it's just from a few days ago. But why aren't more people talking about this? And the impact it's going to have on the whole world, on the health of the world. It says Europeans are running studies on whether they would store their data or process their payments should friction with the U.S. escalate, and how well their American-made weaponry would operate without Washington's authorization. Nations whose empires once spanned the globe are now stuck trying to extricate themselves from their humbling dependency on American technology and military power without provoking the U.S. So on the one hand, they say what needs to be said because, hey, we want Lockheed Martin to set up a plant in Munich. And at the same time, they want to break free from their dependency on the U.S. This is not going to end well. It says on June 24, Trump landed in The Hague, where the NATO Secretary General handed him a huge foreign policy win. Further down, it says there was laughter in the room, but it masked deep anxiety, said Rosen Zoranovich or whoever, then prime minister. European leaders still clung to the belief that they could manage Donald Trump through diplomatic flattery and personal charm. So that's what they're that's what they're debating. How much longer can we get by with just flattering him, with telling him how much we love him, with telling him how much we love each other? It says the fragile consensus on flattery was starting to splinter, a trend captured by Britain's MI6. That form of diplomacy, per an assessment from the spy service, was subject to the law of diminishing returns. It's not working. Not like it used to. So we've got to come out with something more aggressive, something brazen, something that really does go after America as an enemy. This article, another one from the Wall Street Journal, the Canadian who steered Europe away from the U.S. It talks about Mark Carney and the first visits that he made abroad as soon as he came into power last year. He went straight to Europe. He started going at Trump for calling Canada the 51st state. A lot of animosity, and Trump returned favor. Talked about Canada, well, like you recently talked about Spain. The world is not okay. It's not doing well. And the evidence is all around us. It's everywhere. It says, now as Carney took charge in early 2025, he commissioned a sensitive review that he would discuss one-on-one with his closest aides in his office or abroad. Or aboard, sorry, the jet officially call signed Canada Force One. It says it was Carney's first crack at a riddle that would come to bedevil governments on both sides of the Atlantic. What to do when your closest ally turns into a threat? What do you do when America, when a Donald Trump America becomes a threat? What do you do when America becomes an enemy? Well, you start preparing for war. But like Mr. Armstrong said in that cold open, we can't see but one enemy at a time. And so look at how vulnerable we are. Yes, we can talk about how great the U.S. military is, even as we send all of that military firepower to Germany and to Europe. Because the world is doing so well, you see. The world is arming for war. World war. That's what Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24. Another Wall Street Journal piece. The European Union is splintering, and some say that's the only way to revive it. Well, is this significant? I thought the 28 nations just loved each other. I thought there was so much unity. And what could be the significance of Europe splintering? Well, those of you that are, again, students of Bible prophecy, you know well the significance of this development. It says here, the European Union was built on consensus. Nations that once bludgeoned each other found common purpose, yielding years of economic growth. Now, as that expansion has stalled, the bloc is exploring a radical idea to get its mojo back, abandoning the unity that has defined it for decades. Well, it's not working like we hoped. The unity, it's just not as tight as we were thinking it would be. What does this mean? Today's shift is about self preservation. Further on, it says, since Draghi's 2024 report, the EU's six largest economies have thrown their weight behind uniting the bloc's financial markets under common rules and a single more powerful supervisory body. European countries forged a coalition to help Ukraine on industrial policy. A group of 10 EU members is working on a pilot project to stockpile critical raw materials such as rare earth elements and gallium, a crucial component in semiconductors. Here comes a group of 10 to work together on behalf of Ukraine. Listen to my father's Key of David program from 2015, clip 8.
Verse 12, and the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Here are the 10 horns or the 10 kings. Now this is the last head of that Holy Roman Empire, and it's going to have 10 horns or 10 kings. It's not going to have 28, it's going to have 10. And that's what this financial crisis is going to trigger and promote in a powerful way.
It's happening. Just that was, what, 11 years ago? This journal piece says, hidden behind the timeline is an implicit warning. European officials say if countries can't find a way to work as one at the EU level, breakaway coalitions will forge ahead. You remember that statement. When you see the breakaway coalition come together, and when you see that there's 10 of them. Here again, this is my father from 2016, clip 9.
Now, we've been telling you for many years that those some over 25 nations in Europe that belong to the European Union are going to be pared down to 10 nations or 10 kings that are prophesied in Revelation 17. Now, the reason it's so interesting to you, or should be, is because they are going to start World War III. And I can show you that in over 50 prophecies in your Bible, maybe even 100 of them. But they are actually, that is, Germany, Italy, and France are actually forcing nations into their configuration, that little Berlin group that is saying, well, all right, from now on, they're going to meet our specifications or they won't be a member, just like Britain, who was recently voted out. They voted themselves out. But there was more to it than that the people don't see. There's a lot of secret deals going on here. We're already into the seventh head of the Holy Roman Empire.
Lots of secret deals going on. My father said back in 2016, if you go through this Wall Street Journal article, it's talking about all of these groups of nations that are working together on their pet projects, excluding others in the European Union. Secret deals. Tomorrow's news today. What kind of secret deals are going on, even as we speak? What if the 10 nations or the 10 kings are already unified? They're already together. Even as the press conferences celebrate love, transatlantic love between America and Europe, I've never seen so much love. I've never seen so much unity. The world is doing well, is it? My father, he wrote this back in 2022. It says, in the Bible, God condemns America and Britain and the other modern descendants of ancient Israel for forsaking him and for doting on their lovers. And today, what do we find ourselves doing? Arming two warlike nations, our historical enemies, with nuclear firepower This is appallingly dangerous. We're arming the enemy, and we can't see them as an enemy because we can only see one enemy at a time. As Mr. Armstrong said decades ago, by the way. And so we carry on like a silly dove, talking about peace when there is no peace. Talking about love when there's a lot of hatred and animosity, a lot of jealousy, a lot of contempt, a lot of competition and strife. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, but the world is not well. The world is not doing well. That's why we're here to celebrate, to envision God's world, the wonderful world tomorrow, the wonderful family government of God. That's what this world needs. My father wrote back in 2022, how naive America is to entrust this immense firepower to nations that so recently and throughout history have proved to be enemies of the free world. He was talking in 2022 about all the weapons that we have situated in the European continent, including in Germany. How crazy is this? He said, right now, Germany seems to be an ally of the U.S., but what if this nation, our arch enemy in World Wars I and II, turned against us in the next war? Will we even contemplate that flip-flop, that change? We should be thinking about it every day, given what happened in World Wars I and II. But we carry on with a smile on our face, say, hey, Lockheed Martin, they're coming over to your country. We're going to build the Tomahawk missiles, the Patriot missiles in your country, on your soil. And that's fine. We're completely fine with that, as long as Spain pays their dues. The world is not doing well. The world is arming for war. And at the trumpet, you get tomorrow's news today. There's another article from 2023. 10 kings of the new Holy Roman Empire rising now. It's happening right now. It's happening now. My father said, Mr. Armstrong taught that 5 of these 10 nations or nation groups led by 10 kings would be in Western Europe and 5 in Eastern Europe. So God's giving us some precise details here. Mr. Armstrong went on to say that this European empire might assemble in pieces, but he said definitely that when it's time for the 10 kings to rise in unity, it will happen suddenly. That's why the secret deals is such an important detail here as well. Because when the 10 emerge, it's going to be sudden. And we've got to prepare ourselves for what's coming. We've got to prepare ourselves for the fulfillment of the Olivet prophecy. We've got to make sure that our religion is sincere and that it's based on truth. We've got to stop. In the name of God, that was the title of my PAC lecture in Florida. Stop. If God says it, well, stop and ponder it. Think about it. What does it mean? What do I need to change? I'll carry on with that subject with this third segment. It's a 10-minute segment from the Fort Lauderdale PAC a week and a half ago. I think it was June 28th. We'll finish today's show with that. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Mark chapter 7. Let's switch over to the Gospels. In that crossroads issue of The Trumpet, My father said, God's assessment of America is that we are a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. So that's from Isaiah 1, obviously. But here again, it's God's assessment. So before you dismiss it and say, well, I don't want to hear from a preacher that's just focusing on the negative. It's not like it's a negative message. Repentance is joyous. Repentance leads you to God. But God's assessment of this world, when you put all of the scriptures together, it's an ugly picture. And part of the positive message in that is it gets our minds on another world, a new world, God's kingdom. And that starts in embryo in God's church. And we'll see at the end, if I have time, we'll see at the end where Paul said in Ephesians, there's one church, there's one spirit, there's one body, there's one baptism. That's where we want to be, because that's the kingdom of God in embryo. That's God's world in embryo. Mark 7 and verse 5, it says, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat bread with unwashed hands? These were the religious of Christ's day, and it's, you know, they may have had slightly different traditions than many have today, but it's the same thing that the church is always having to counter or confront. The spirit of just wanting to do the traditions of the elders. And Christ said to them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's Mark 7. Ezekiel 33 says it's the same thing. James 1, you could just go right to Christ encountered this everywhere he went, practically. Very religious, pious individuals that wanted to criticize him, that wanted to criticize God in the flesh, that wanted to criticize his disciples. Self-righteous hypocrites. He paraphrases Isaiah 29 and then continues in verse 7 here. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There is such a thing as vain worship. Jesus told us, vain worship, in vain they worship me. That's the statement that sends all of our performers off, you see? Maybe they are upset. As soon as I bring up hypocrisy, they're gone. It's possible to worship God and to do it in vain. It is possible. And this is an important message for anybody. Members, non-members alike. You can sit in a seat, listen to a lecture that you're not in agreement to, and it could still be an entirely vain exercise. God sees our hearts. God observes what we're doing. The eyes of the eternal are upon us. And Christ even said about hypocrisy, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, hypocrisy. That verse I mentioned, I want to read it word for word. Isaiah 48:1. Hear you this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord. Okay, they swear even by the name of God. And make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. They just make mention of it. But it's not true or right. It's vain worship. So, a couple months ago, we have this Bible reading. 500 participants went on for 7 days. President Trump read 2 Chronicles 7. I congratulated him on the program for reading it right. And the reason I did that is because a lot of preachers They don't read the verse accurately. They read the parts they like. They basically say on the part they don't like, if you don't like this chapter, you can skip to the next one. And we can't do that. That's not true religion. That's vain worship. So President Trump read it correctly. And as I said previously, if ever there was a message that this nation needed, it's 2 Chronicles 7 for sure. Because it talks about us praying to God and turning from our wicked ways. And then God taking the action of healing the land. Once we turn, once we get back on the right track, staying here in Mark 7, it says in verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, you see, stop in the name of God. They observe the traditions of men, and they set aside the commandment of God. They didn't stop in the name of God. They stopped in the name of human traditions. You hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things. You do in our Ten Commandments booklet. It says, worshiping Christ with pagan customs and festivals is a direct violation of the Second Commandment. Look at how many pagan customs and festivals that we not only observe, but we love it. We love it. We're immersed into pagan traditions, and people will humanly reason their way around it, saying, well, but it, you know, it mentions Christ, or it does this, it makes me feel good, or our families get together for those customs. How could that be wrong? Well, what if the admonition, what if the command is stop in the name of God, stop it? Or what if it's go in the name of God, do this? Will we have the attitude that Herbert Armstrong had 100 years ago, where he realized that in doing this, I know it's going to alienate me from some of my friends and colleagues. I know it's really going to set me apart as different in this world, but I got to do it. I've got to follow God's lead. Verse 9 says, and he said to them, full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. And then notice verse 13, a little further down, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. We can make the word of God of none effect. In other words, like 2 Timothy 3:5 says, there's no power there. There's no authority there. They're just words on a page, unapplied. Of no value. It's just another book. And Solomon said of making of books, there's no end. Books are everywhere. What sets apart God's people is the book that they hold to that has authority and their willingness to submit to that authority, to follow that authority, to obey those commands. Don't skip a chapter because you don't like it. Instead, take it to God. Take the matter to God and ask him, help me to see the truth in this and give me the strength and the power that I need to put it into practice. That's why Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized, and then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's power. God knows you need power. God knows you need help. God knows I need help. But look at this magnificent plan he's put in motion, sending his son to this earth in the flesh. That lamb sacrifice, so that that blood could be applied on our behalf and we could live in sin? No, not at all. So that we might go forward in newness of life. Romans 6:4. We've got to be willing to change. When you're coming into God's work, when you're coming into God's church, you have to be willing to make in some cases, some monumental changes. And some of the attendees at these events have been quite open with, you know, their struggles. And happy for you, there's a lot of helpers here, a lot of ministers that can give some hopefully encouraging admonition as you go forward and work to turn things around.